Now, it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belleville.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's 4:02 in the Pacific Time Zone. That's 4:20 for my dyslexic listeners. Hanging out with Jay Banks from the Fresh Buds PDX Dispensary. And we got a new bong. I had to buy a new bong because I broke the last bong.
And I cleaned it.
And you did. Good job. And the last studio bong had lasted for years, even though we have these hard tile floors. Amazing. And that's the first thing Herb Thrasher asks for when he comes to his show on Friday nights. Where's the bong? Dude, it's upstairs. I'll go get it. Jeez. So when I texted out that, you know, R.I.P. Studio Bong passed away, right? And I imagine, you know that scene in Animal House when they're taking the bar and John Belushi sees the cask of, you know, Jack Daniels crashed. He goes, oh!
The face. Exactly. Could have gotten a picture.
So I had to make sure I got something really quick or Herb would never have been able to get past that. You're listening to Toker Talk Radio. Our phone number here is 844-420-RADIO. That's 844-207-2346. That's toll free from anywhere in the North American continent and some of the Caribbean islands, I think. So I'm not exactly sure. Speaking of Caribbean islands, High Times is hosting a Cannabis Cup in November in Jamaica. If you'd like to have me cover the High Times Cannabis Cup in Jamaica, I would be willing to put in the sacrifice, the hard work it would entail.
And I'd be willing to carry his luggage.
Jay, I'll carry the luggage. We're looking for a sponsor. So if you want to sponsor the High Times Cannabis Cup booth that I'll have in Jamaica, if you can get me to Jamaica, then send me an email. It's radicalrus@gmail.com. And who knows what could happen? I have to work on the beach body and get a tan or something, but we'll see what happens.
Well, we can work on that. I'm a trainer.
There we go. I'm going to bump you up. There we go. Loving it. So today I had the benefit of being a guest speaker at a seminar that was held by the Seminar Group. Interesting name, but the Bricken Law Firm was also a part of this, and it was on marijuana legalization in Oregon and what it is now. Because, like, we passed Measure 91, but then the legislature got in there and did a whole bunch of tinkering, changed a whole bunch of things. So my presentation today was on all of the details that have come through in the past, you know, 2-3 days as they rush to the end of the legislative session. Some of those things are the things we talked about here with Jay, like October 1st, we're going to be opening up the dispensaries if the city allows it, right? Whatever city you're in can ban this from happening, but they're going to open up what's called limited use. And it's like this temporary designation. They actually have a separate bill for it called limited use, which means that adults can go to medical marijuana dispensaries that choose to do so. Not every dispensary has to, right? So the city can say no, or the dispensary itself can say no. But here in Portland, come on now. Most all of them are going to allow adults to go in and shop. And the icing on the cake is that Measure 91 doesn't allow any taxation of marijuana until after January 1st, 2016. So October, November, December, tax-free marijuana in Oregon. Get your Christmas shopping done.
I mean, if you don't see saving money on that, I don't know what you can see.
You know that there's gonna be a giant sucking sound. That giant sucking sound is the sound of pot smokers coming from Vancouver, Washington.
Now, thank you, Ross Perot. Yeah. Ross Perot joining us in the studio. I don't know what the hell.
Can I finish?
You cannot expect a pork belly pig to sit on a linoleum floor covered with Vaseline.
What the hell does that mean, Ross Perot? Get the hell out of here.
Get out of here.
All right. So, so that's coming up later on this hour. In the second half hour, we're just going to go out on my presentation on the Oregon marijuana legalization details. Let me give you some things, takeaways that I noticed. Number one, there is no amount of marijuana, edibles, concentrates, or liquids that I can possess in my home that will get me a felony. I can have 1,000 pounds of weed in my house, and I can't get a felony. And Class A misdemeanor.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like if you get to have your 8 ounces at home, up to double that's a Class B misdemeanor. Up there or is a ticket. No, up to double that's a ticket. Up to quadruple that is a Class B misdemeanor. Over quadruple your limit is a Class A misdemeanor. 1,000 pounds is more than four times over, so 1,000 pounds is a Class A misdemeanor. In fact, there's only like two or three crimes left. There's only two or three marijuana crimes left in the state of Oregon that you can get a felony for. One is unlawful manufacture distribution within 1,000 feet of school. That's still a Class A felony. Okay, that's someone
that's,
you know,
needed.
Yeah, understand. Number two is unlawful delivery to a minor if the minor's under 18 and you're over 21. So, yeah, dealing to kids, Class C felony. And the other Class C felony is if you grow more than 8 plants in your house, because you get 4 plants per household. 4 to 8 is a misdemeanor. Over 8 is a Class C felony. And that's it. That's the only Class C felonies left. It's pretty amazing.
Jive, marry, grifo, grass, hay. Technically, it's cannabis sativa, the common name, marijuana. She has found a crutch to see her through her difficulties instead of facing up to them and coping with them. And in time, she may be ready to try something different, something better.
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum. Elegance and sophistication concentrated.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National, Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Some groovy, Irie Wednesday music from Soja, Soldiers of Jah Army, with Slow Down. You're back here in Rolla J Studios in legal Potland, Oregon. Jay Bakes is here from Fresh Buds PDX, and we were talking about 710. That's coming up this Friday, July 10th, for all the oil heads out there.
Yes, it is.
Dabbers. The fans of the Earl.
Gonna have a lot of people looking like Popeye.
That's right. So there's something special happening. What's happening that's
special?
You
know, I've linked up with Golden Extracts, and they're going to do a special with me to where I can do 2 grams of oil, CO2 extracted oil, at the price of
$70, ooh, which is a great savings there.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's $10 savings right there, as well as if you do buy that, you get a free gram of Proper, which is one of their high-quality waxes that is very intense and very high THC.
Cool.
So that's literally a $40 value there when it comes down to it. So, you know, this is something that is going on for a short period of time due to Dab Friday, and I'm going to try to launch this and give this, you know, these savings to anybody that can take advantage of it. So come on down to Fresh Buds. I'll be happy to set you up, and Golden Extracts is taking care of all of us.
Right on. Friday special at Fresh Buds. It's 110 Southeast Main, right here on the east side of the river. Which bridge are you by? Is it Morrison or Hawthorne?
Hawthorne would be the closest one. And, you know, and keep in mind, that special is not just Friday. It's going on daily for right now until Golden Extracts chooses to not do it any longer.
So I aired. So, it's on right now.
It's on right now. But Dab Friday is also going to be, we're going to have a party at the shop, and we're going to have some fun with it. So, you know, step on in.
You know, perhaps we'll talk to Herb Thrasher. We'll take the Herb Thrasher show down there. Are you open at night, like 8?
Yeah.
You going to be open at night?
Yeah.
We could do a live remote Herb Thrasher show, play some metal, have some good times.
That'd be great. I'm in.
I'll talk to Herb about that. That'd be a lot of fun. I have to figure out. Do you got internet there?
I got internet. I'll bring some vendors in. We'll try to give away some free stuff, and, you know, for real, but not 420 pounds. No. I will give away some edibles and things like that to my medical patients for sure that have a card.
Yeah. Some other quick little notes about the new law. Nobody gives a shit about how many immature plants you have. A licensed producer, if you're a licensed grower under our recreational marijuana program, they can have these tiered leveled systems of, you know, by plant count or by canopy space, depending on what they decide. Right. It's up to them.
Right.
You know, 5,000 square foot, 10,000 square foot, blah, 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 and charge more based on more space. Yep. That kind of makes sense. Big business should have to pay more than the little guy.
Right.
Okay. But immature plants cannot be regulated in count, canopy, or weight by the OLCC. In other words, they do not give a shit how many immature plants you have, which on the one end is like, yeah, of course, because immature plants don't bud, so why would we want to count them? What difference do they make? They're not a drug at that point. But on the other hand, it's like, man, and now immature plant, the definition's been changed. In the medical side, it used to be 12 inches, right? Mm-hmm. Anything bigger than 12 inches or wider than 12 inches, not anymore. It's if it's flowering. Anything non-flowering is a immature plant. So if they're not counting how many immature plants you have, this opens up what I call the Papa Murphy's take and bake of weed. I can veg a plant out ready to flower and have as many of those as I want and start selling those to people.
Almost ready to bud.
Almost ready to bud. Now, you can't sell a mature plant. That's strictly forbidden. You can't sell a mature plant.
But it's not mature until it's flowering.
Not mature until it's flowering. So Papa Murphy's take and bake. You get your big mature plant. It's got a little thing that says, put this under the light for this hours, and wait 6 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever.
Talk about these gray areas, man.
It's been interesting because all these years, you know, since Prop 19, I'd say, is about when I started really digging into all these laws and bills and stuff. And you start to figure out where... Oh, there's a loophole. Look at there. Oh, you start in the text. You go, well, wait a minute. Does that mean I can have 1,000 pounds of weed and there's no felony? Yes, it does. Does that mean I can have as many immature plants as I want? Why, yes, it does. So you start to find all these little loophole kind of things. Another one that was interesting to me for all of the licenses, producer, processor, wholesaler, retailer, they have this line that says you must have residence within the state of Oregon for 2 years up until the year 2020, and then the residency requirement goes away, comma, and must be above the age of 21. And the way it's written, I'm wondering if that comma makes a difference, because it could be interpreted to say after 2020, you don't have to be 21 anymore. So does the comma make a difference there? I don't know. Some clever lawyer will probably test
someone
that.
Someone will go and go for it.
So was that an issue when you were trying to get your dispensary going, is residency? Because you said you've been here for 10 months.
Residency was an issue. You had to just be a resident of Oregon.
Okay.
There was no timeline. I thought in the beginning it was a year, but I eventually talked to someone at the state that was able to give me the right information instead of hearsay. So, yeah. I just came, got a license, got registered, used my brother-in-law's address, and then drove around in a rental car until I wrecked that. But the main thing is that it really, at the end of the day, it's pretty fairly easy to come in from out of state and set up a dispensary.
Yeah.
Which can be scary in a sense, because there's people that are more advanced in this industry than we are, because they've started it 5 years ago, let's say Colorado.
Yeah.
And those big dogs have money, and they're smart too.
And experience.
And experience. And, you know, that's the only part of it. But that's just, that's business. You can't control it, because there's always going to be bigger people out there.
I'm glad that they put the 2-year residency on it, but didn't make it permanent. It's like, eventually, like, let's give our guys a 4-year head start. Give them a 4-year head start. And by then, if you're not established, come on now.
Right. We'll give you a chance, you know, since you're an Oregonian.
Because I'm always looking at this from the consumer perspective of, I want the most competition. I want the most players so that they're all competing and driving those prices down and competing for quality and customer service and all of that.
Well, that way you work hard to stand out.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people just get comfortable and they just sell weed. And they might just be in a great location because, you know, you got a bunch of hood rats around, whatnot, that's dealing with it. I, on the other hand, am in a spot that's hard to be located. It's off the beaten path, but it's in an area that you're not necessarily noticed walking into a weed establishment. Not a lot of people want people to know that they're buying weed.
That's right.
Which is why they're not getting cards, because they feel like they're going to be on a list.
Yeah. I've heard that many times.
So there's a lot of catch-22s going on in this industry, and I think that the recreational coming into play is going to get rid of a lot of them.
I hope so.
But I also believe that investing in the card and just not being so concerned about the list, if you can, is going to be the right investment, because then you're open to a lot of more potent medicine out there, depending on your affliction and what you can get for it. You know, the recreational is simply going to be mostly for just social, you know, just like liquor.
Yeah.
Yeah, now party time, let's smoke up.
Yeah, and we found that, as you know, the more access there is, it's like, I did this research on what's the average age of a pot smoker, and then, like, nationwide, you found the average age was, you know, like 27 or something, 26, you know, pretty young, right? Yeah. mid-20s. And then, you know, because it's heavily weighted on the teenage side and somewhat on the other side, once you hit your 30s, people have kids, get careers.
Yeah, they have a family, it starts, you know, the kids can smell it early.
Yeah, they go,
Mom, they're so keen.
But then when you started drilling down and you got to the medical marijuana states, like the Oregon average age was in the 30s, and the California average age was like 29, the Oregon age was in the 30s, and the Colorado age was like 41. And it kind of occurred to me that the reason why is because when you have legal access, guys my age can find weed.
Exactly.
Young guys can always find weed. Yeah. They got a college hookup. They got a high school friend. Whatever, right?
Innovative. Well, they're just resilient, man. I mean, when you're older, we're like, whatever. We're more laid back. All right? Someone brings it to us and gives us to it, we're like, heck yeah. But to go out of our way to get it, it's a little bit more difficult for us.
Yeah.
We're tired.
I've been working all day. I've been
working all day.
I'm old, man.
I don't want to have to go find it. Come to me. That's why delivery companies should definitely be illegal.
And that's going to be interesting because in these laws, the legislature specifically says you cannot license a mobile premises. So a guy can't set up an RV or something, and or like the weed truck, like be like a food truck, right? You can't have a mobile premises.
Right, like the ice cream truck.
Yeah,
you know?
Whatever.
Big worm.
But does that preclude us being able to have deliveries? I don't know, because you're not licensing the car that's delivering the weed. And as long as the person, you know,
I mean, as a caregiver, they're able to deliver the weed to the patient. So to me, it's the same concept. I mean, I have calls regularly in my dispensary and asking if I can deliver it because the people are immobile.
Sure.
You know, they're disabled. So I refer them to people that I know because I feel like they need to be helped. I mean, if they can't come into my dispensary, then I need to go to them.
That's
it doesn't
awesome.
Make sense to make it legal and then not be able to, you know, help those people just because they're immobile.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, those are the gray areas that everybody's, because I have delivery companies that are worried they're going to go to jail all the time.
Sure.
So, you know, it's just a bummer because that's why I left Atlanta, so I wouldn't have to worry about those things. Mm. But you still have to worry. You still have to stay within the confines of the regulations and within the gray area, wherever that may be.
Yeah, and that's something I think a lot of people in our community have to get used to is, you know, we've built up a series of habits and traditions and mores around secrecy and being clandestine.
Yeah.
And following the regulations is the opposite of that. You have to be transparent
and give it
forthcoming.
Away. Forthcoming. You know, here, exactly. It's like half-baked. Let's put joints on business cards. Now, I never thought it could be like amazing transition.
It's an amazing world we're living in. Oh!
You're a loony.
All right, that sound means it's 4:20. And according to our union rules, it's mandated that we have our regular safety briefing. Yes. So we're going to learn how to be safe about. Here with some skunk number one, I believe. Stay tuned. We're back with Irie Wednesday Daily Toker Tunes, Gordon Green, and some Japanese metal from Sex Machine Guns.
Nice.
Can't beat that.
Right on, right on, right on.
Twenty Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, ready to feel Irie, although maybe today's music is just more headbanger than Irie, but I'm really looking forward to it. We got Gordon Green on the line. How you doing, Gordon?
This is Irie headbanger.
Irie headbanging music, that's right. Hey, I know Herb Thrasher will approve, and also let me introduce you. We got Jay Bakes in the studio hanging out. How you doing?
How's it
right
going?
On. Right on, how's it going, Jay?
Good, my friend.
So, Gordon, of course, has our show, the Gordon Green Music Planet, taking place at 8 p.m. tonight. But before we talk about tonight's show, tell us a little bit about this artist, because I'm just, my curiosity has piqued.
Yeah, man, I was putting together this show of rock bands out of Japan and discovered this band called, they're called Sex Machine Guns.
That's awesome.
And they've been around since 1989, and put out about 15 albums, been on top 40, top 100 most of their career.
Huh. Sex Machine Guns, is that machine guns that shoot sex or guns that shoot sex machines? I'm not sure which, but I love the name. Is that, so tonight's show is about Japanese rock or just all
tonight's
rock?
Tonight's show is hard rock out of Japan, and I discovered a ton of great bands. If you like hard rock music, you should check it out. It's gonna blow your mind what's out there.
Excellent. And I've gotten a couple of requests from people, and they've been wanting to know how to get in touch with you. If they had requests or wanted to know more about your show, how can they do that?
Yep, they can contact me at GordonGreensMusicPlanet@gmail.com.
There you go. GordonGreensMusicPlanet@gmail.com. It's airing tonight at 8 p.m. It's every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. And also replaying on the weekends, Friday and Saturday nights, are actually technically Saturday and Sunday mornings because it's at midnight. But that's Pacific time. And check 420radio.org/schedule for the listings in your time zone. Gordon, thanks for calling in and have a great show tonight.
Hey, Rose and Jay. Peace out.
Hey, you too, man.
Here's some Sex Machine Guns with Metal Accounting Man.
あなたの領収書行方不明。
いつの名前はメタ、噂の男はメタ、幻みたいなメタ、ただいま参上メタ、財務会計システム、なんか複雑わからん、営業の人じゃないだろう、メタルなハートの男さ、あなたの会社は大丈夫、あなたの伝票が行方をね、あいつの名前はメタ、噂の男はメタ、幻みたいなメタ、ただいま参上メタ、 Here come the Metal Master Game Live。大丈夫、あなたの領収書行方不明、あいつの名前はメタ、噂の男はメタ、幻みたいなメタ、ただいま参上メタ、 Here come Reno、 Here come Reno、 Here come Reno Metal Master、
420 Radio, the activist radio station.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome!
Welcome back, everybody. And to conclude for today's show, this is my presentation that I delivered just this morning at the Marijuana in Oregon seminar held by the Seminar Group and the law, Hillary Bricken and her law firm. I forget the entire name of the firm, on the new details of Oregon marijuana legalization.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks for having me here. Let me start with a disclaimer. I'm not a lawyer, and I do not play one on the radio. But I have read just about every marijuana bill, medical or legalization, since Prop 19 in California in 2010. So I almost feel like I'm a paralegal at this point. But also, I want to let you know that for the past 7 days, for the first time in 25 years, I've no longer been a criminal. I am a cannabis consumer, and I'm a proud cannabis consumer, and I believe I deserve the same equal rights as beer drinkers and cigar smokers. And that's what we stand for at Portland Normal. We are the consumers' lobby, so a lot of what I'm talking about today will have that particular point of view, so to speak. So I'm here to talk about Measure 91 and the amendments that Representative Leininger recently kind of basically spoke about. This PowerPoint is very different from the one that you got in your materials, because when I wrote the PowerPoint originally, none of these bills had passed, so I had to. In fact, I was up last night till 1 in the morning making sure I had all the details entered. If you'd like a copy of this PowerPoint, because people tell me listening to my presentations is like drinking water from a fire hose, there's a lot of information coming at you. If you'd like a copy of this, you can always get a copy from me via email. I'm Radical Russ on everything. Radical Russ at Gmail, YouTube, Facebook, SoundCloud, MySpace, I imagine. I don't know if that's around anymore, but you can get a hold of me at radicalruss@gmail.com. All right, so what we're going to talk about today is the details of Measure 91 that make Oregon different than the other three states that have legal cannabis marketplaces. Washington, D.C. doesn't have a cannabis marketplace. It's Grow and Give. So we're not going to count Washington, D.C., just Washington, Oregon, Colorado, and Alaska. We're going to take a look at how the state and local law conflicts kind of shaped this legislative session and some of the negotiating they had to do in some of these bills. We're going to take a look at the bills that amended Measure 91. What is the law now? And if you've got those cards passed out, I had some cards on the desk, you'll notice I had to cross out part of it because they changed the law on me after I printed 5,000 cards. So I'll be doing a lot of Sharpie. What will happen to medical marijuana now that we've passed Measure 91 and all its amendments? How will commercial cannabis and industrial hemp coexist? This has been a big controversy down in Southern Oregon where they're afraid the hemp plants will cross-pollinate the cannabis plants and vice versa. And finally, what can registrants and licensees and their council expect from Measure 91? All right, so first of all, this is a nice chart that kind of details the differences in our states. We've got Oregon, Washington, Colorado, and Alaska. And I kind of put these next to each other because Oregon and Washington are very similar, at least at their possession level. We both allow an ounce of marijuana. In fact, all states allow people 21 and older to possess an ounce of marijuana. But in private, we have quite a different setup. Here in Oregon, we're going to be able to possess 8 ounces, a half pound. But in Washington, still just an ounce. In Colorado, they've got an interesting law that says you may possess the results of your harvests, which technically, theoretically, is an infinite limit. Son, what are you doing with 200 pounds of cannabis here? Why, officer, those are the results of my harvests, plural, that I've been harvesting since 2012, right? So kind of a tough thing for a cop to have to enforce there, you know, and pretty much limitless. And then in Alaska, they got a special situation. They had a Supreme Court case in 1975 called Raven v. Alaska. Alaska's got amazing constitutional protections for privacy, the best in the nation. And Raven v. Alaska decided that the cop's interest in protecting the public safety did not outweigh a person's privacy at their home so long as they were growing less than 25 plants and possessing less than a quarter pound. So their legalization didn't legalize up to 4 ounces, but their state privacy allows that and has since 1975. Edibles. We did it right. Washington and Oregon, you can have up to a pound of edibles, brownies, cookies, gummy bears, whatever they might be. The other states said you can have up to an ounce of marijuana in the edible. Well, how do you detect that? You got a plate of brownies in front of you. Is there an ounce in that? Is there 2 ounces in it? You don't know. Makes it tough for cops to have to enforce. Tincture, same idea. We can have up to 72 ounces, and I like to convert it. So that's 4.5 pints if you're used to drinking beers, right? So 4.5 pints of infused liquids, which I just call tinctures at this point. But again, Colorado and Alaska did it kind of weird, up to an ounce in the tincture. How would you know? Extracts. Now, this is where things got interesting for me, but let me start by saying with extracts, we're talking about those concentrated forms of cannabis that can include things like oils and hash and such. And the other states have pretty much left it to just an ounce, Washington State just a quarter ounce. But we had a weird thing in Measure 91, where it defined extracts as things that are extracted with solvents like butane, hexane, propane, carbon dioxide, isopropyl alcohol, ethanol. And then what about stuff that's not extracted with that? There was no definition. We had no idea. What is that, an edible? Is that just marijuana? What's the deal, right? So it said in Measure 91 we could have an ounce of store-bought concentrate. That is concentrate manufactured by a licensed processor under Measure 91. That means right now, in fact, as of July 1st, concentrates are illegal. BHO, butane hash oil, since nobody's licensed to make that yet, and if you're not a medical marijuana patient, all this is if you're not a medical marijuana patient, possession of that stuff is a misdemeanor. Over a quarter ounce of it is a felony. So a lot of people, a lot of my people in the normal community did not know that, and I made sure to let them know. And then as far as cultivation, we get 4 plants per household, which is kind of problematic, and it's something I hope the legislature takes up. If they had said 4 mature plants per household, we could work with that. But 4 plants means I got 1 mother plant, and then I'm going to clone it and grow that. And I want it. This makes it really hard to keep your cycle going if you've only got just 4 plants to work with. So we hope there's some clarification of that in the future. Colorado, 3 mature, 3 mature, and again, Raven v. Alaska allows 25 per household. But then we got some changes. House Bill 3400A made this change. and it's one of my favorite things in 3400. It specifically defined what an extract is something that's using a hydrocarbon-based solvent, what I call the anes, butane, propane, hexane, any of the anes, that's extract, or carbon dioxide-based extracts if heat and pressure are used. So what that meant is BHO is still illegal until we get some stores to sell it. But everything else that's been made with mechanical or non-hydrocarbon solvents is now defined specifically as a new category called concentrates. Ice water hash, bubble hash, finger hash, using vegetable oils, vegetable glycerin, any way that you concentrate marijuana using those non-solvent-based methods is now a concentrate that you're allowed to have up to a pound of. That's right, I can have a pound of hash in my home and not break a law. I love Oregon. Now, how about the commercial differences with Measure 91? Well, again, the four states, as it was written, we were gonna let anybody get into the marijuana business here, and we were gonna have a $250 application fee with a $1,000 license limit for producers, processors, and retailers, and we added a license nobody else has, wholesalers. That's no other state's got a wholesaler situation going on. And in Washington State, they limited the number of retailers to 334 storefronts. We don't have such a limitation, although OLCC does have the ability to regulate based on the market needs, but it's not hard-coded into any of our laws yet. And then we had that taxation that we've mentioned where it was gonna be a harvest tax, $35 an ounce, $10 an ounce for leaves, $5 an ounce for seedlings. That became problematic because one of the things is $35 an ounce is $560 a pound. A pound of marijuana in Oregon goes for $1,200, $1,500. So now you talk about a tax that's really like 33% of the price of marijuana. And if the pound goes down to $500 a pound, now your tax is more than the cost of the marijuana itself. So there was some problems with the harvest tax. The other problem, if you're looking forward to possibly integrating medical and commercial markets and you don't want to tax the medical patients, how do you subtract that tax when it's been installed way back at the production level? You'd have to start giving rebates to patients, and then that becomes a big problem. So it was decided if this is a sales tax, you can just not charge it to the patients. And if it's a sales tax, it will be more reflective of what the price of marijuana is. It will go up and down as the price of marijuana goes up and down. But again, the legislature changed a lot of this. And now, with 3400A, we have a residency requirement. You must be a resident for 2 years in the state of Oregon up until the year 2020. As of January 1st, 2020, the residency requirement goes away. So we got a 4 year start, kinda, on getting Oregonians installed in these businesses. The fees are all gonna be cost-based fees where the OLCC can determine what the fee is, but they can't over-fee us. It has to be, you know, somewhat reasonable to the costs of regulating. And the producers, the plants, they're gonna set up a tiered system, kind of like they got in Colorado and Washington, tier one, two, 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 three. We might not have three tiers, it might be five, who knows, but it'll be based on the size of the grow, how many plants or how much square footage. That's still up to OLCC to decide, but we will have greater fees for larger grows. And this is meant to protect the smaller growers, let them be able to compete too. And our tax got changed. As of October 1st, when we're gonna start those early sales, we'll have a 25% point of sale tax. As of January, the tax kicks in to the 17% retail tax and up to 3% local tax if the locals voted in, if the locality allows all types of licenses. Also, while 3400 didn't do this, Washington recently changed their taxes too. They got rid of that 25% at three different levels and made it just a 37% tax. And I really think that we are going to start to see in the Pacific Northwest, the world's only shared border marijuana region in the world, a kind of a competition between the states. Right now, the number one and number three best-selling pot shops in all of Washington State are in Vancouver. The four pot shops in Vancouver outsell the 15 pot shops in Seattle. That's all us Oregonians crossing the river and breaking federal law. As of October 1st, when our pot shops here in Portland, of which there's about 97 of them, if they start selling tax-free marijuana, that'll be the giant sucking sound of Washington money coming into Oregon to buy that tax-free marijuana. All right, so let's take a look at some of the other things that Measure 91 did in the way of depenalization. And I think this is very important because not only did we legalize great amounts for people to possess and produce, we also depenalized if they went over those limits. I already told you what's legal with public, private, edibles, all that. Twice those amounts of marijuana, edibles, concentrates, tinctures, and extracts, twice those amounts are just a Class B violation. You're just going to get a ticket for having up to a pound of marijuana in your house. And up to four times those amounts is a Class B misdemeanor. I can have up to 2 pounds of marijuana in my house and only get a misdemeanor. And the way Measure 91 was originally written, four times or more would be a Class C felony. And that reduced some of them from Class A's and Class B's, where it's a 20 or a 10-year mandatory and it's harder to expunge, to a Class C, where it's a 5-year and it's easier to expunge. So we were happy about that when we saw that. Then, of course, extracts, again, since it's homemade, we don't have any store-bought extracts right now. Those are misdemeanors or felonies. And then the plants, 4 in a household is legal, up to 8 is a misdemeanor, over 8 is a felony. And man, I was excited when I saw this, because I'm like, that's a great level of depenalization. The legislature gave us more. In 3400, they reduced all the possessions to Class A misdemeanors at 4 times or more. This means there is no amount of marijuana, concentrates, edibles, or liquids I can possess that will get me a felony. I can possess 1,000 pounds of marijuana in my house and it's going to be a Class A misdemeanor. Now, that's absent trafficking or, you know, giving it to kids or something. But as long as I'm obeying the law and I'm an adult, I can have 1,000 pounds of hash in my house and get just a misdemeanor. They did keep the Class C felonies for growing more than 8 plants or having a quarter ounce or more of the extracts, though. So those did remain. Now, some other depenalizations. Unlawful delivery. Less than 5 grams is a Class B violation. Up to an ounce is a Class A violation. So those are sales. Those are illegal sales, unlawful delivery. Over an ounce of Class A misdemeanor, and if you're selling to a minor, if you're selling to someone under 18 and you're over 21, that remains a Class C felony. There was an attempt to try to get that down to a misdemeanor because the penalty for selling a lot of alcohol to a minor is a misdemeanor, and hey, we're supposed to treat it like alcohol, right? But marijuana and kids? Not an easy sell to try to get that penalty reduced. So that still remains Class C. Unlawful manufacture or delivery within 1,000 feet of a school remains a Class A felony. This is the big one. This is the one you can really get busted for. So if you got those 4 plants that you're growing, we do have the legal right as adults to grow our 4 plants within 1,000 feet of a school. They explicitly protected that. But you go over that 4 plants, you're looking at Class A felony territory. Kind of weird to go from legal with 4 plants to Class A felony with 5 if you're within 1,000 feet of a school. Importing or exporting. You take this stuff across the river, across Washington, Colorado, California, Idaho, whatever. As long as it was for no consideration, you just brought weed with you, Class A misdemeanor. But if you're trying to sell it, Class C felony. Access attempt by minors. If a minor tries to get into a marijuana shop, it's a ticket. If they're in possession of less than an ounce, it's a ticket. Up to 8 ounces, a Class B misdemeanor. Over 8 ounces, a Class A misdemeanor. So even a child, a teenager, cannot get a felony for merely possessing marijuana. Edibles, same deal, up to a pound, over a pound. Tinctures, up to 4.5 pints, over 4.5 pints. But notice there's no ticket for edibles or tinctures. No ticket for edibles or tinctures because we want to keep those gummy bears away from the kids and those sodas away from the kids. All right, let's talk about the state law versus the local option. This was a big fight in the legislature because a lot of the eastern Oregon counties, more rural areas, hate marijuana and hate people like me who use it and did not want to see pop shops opening up in their neighborhood. So we wrote a few things. We said only the state should be able to tax marijuana, just like liquor. But the cities and counties wanted local taxes. We said only the people can ban licenses, just like liquor. They want to be able to ban it with their city council or county commission. We said, the medical marijuana program shall not be affected. They said, no, we're going to affect the medical marijuana program. We want to change a whole bunch about the medical program. So here's what happened. First, in 3400, we have what I call the Eastern Compromise, or the formation of the state of West Idaho. And that is, these counties in red all voted more than 55% against Measure 91, so they don't have to follow the law. They get to do local option banning to their heart's content. They can have their city council or county commission just ban any sort of license they want. Now, they can't ban your personal rights. You still get to grow, you still get to possess. The yellow counties voted against 91, but not at 55% or greater, so they still have to follow the law. And the green counties voted for 91, so they have to follow the law, which means if they want to ban, they have to put it on the ballot, the people have to vote on it. And they've got 180 days to implement those bans, so I guess till the end of this year that they can implement those bans. And it includes all types of shops, includes medical as well. Kind of problem there. There's also some new definitions in 3400A. An extract, what we defined it as in 91 was vegetable glycerin, butane, hexane, isopropyl alcohol, butane, hexane, isopropyl alcohol, ethanol, and carbon dioxide. The legislature changed it, so we now have a definition of concentrate. That is, if you use mechanical or non-solvent means, like any of those oils, fats, or water, or alcohol, or carbon dioxide, so long as you're not using high heat or pressure. An extract, on the other hand, is using a solvent like butane, hexane, or propane, or carbon dioxide, plus high heat or pressure. And another great redefinition, immature plant is a non-flowering plant. Seems obvious if you know anything about plants, but in the medical marijuana law, we've had this definition since 2005 that an immature plant is any plant that's over 12 inches tall or 12 inches wide. Whether it's got flowers, buds, doesn't matter. If it's over 12 inches by 12 inches, it's mature, which is kind of like saying a teenage girl is sexually mature if she's over 5'2". It makes no logical sense, right? So they got that changed. That's very good. Advertising restrictions. As Measure 91 is written, it said the OLCC could regulate or prohibit any advertising on newspaper, letters, billboards, radio, or otherwise. As a guy who survives on radio advertising, this really bothered me. So I'm happy that they changed the law. OLCC may adopt rules regulating and prohibiting advertising that is in a manner that appeals to minors, promotes excessive use, promotes illegal activity, or presents risks to public health and safety. In other words, they got to have a reason to ban based on the content of the ad. They just can't do blanket bans on ads. That's good news for people, the businesses here that are going to want to advertise. And great news for me as one who takes advertisement. Prior convictions versus licensing. In Measure 91, we had written that if you were convicted of cultivation or delivery to a minor within 5 years, you couldn't apply for a license, it disqualified you. The legislature changed that to 2 years. 2 years. That's good news. All right, the types of licenses. The marijuana producer license, you must be 21 years of age and a resident for at least 2 years. And that requirement expires in 2020. And I have to ask a lawyer type because there's a comma involved, but does that also expire the 21 age limit? Because it's in the same line that says it expires in 2020. So I'm going to have to talk to some lawyers about that, whether or not that part expires. I know that's not what they intended.
That'll be 10 years of litigation.
That's right. We'll take it to court. That's right. OLCC cannot limit the number, canopy, or weight of immature marijuana plants for a processor. If I've got a processor license, I can grow 80 football fields with a million immature plants in them. They can't limit me. Immature plants are not counted or limited in any way. Now, what's really good about this is because an immature plant is now not defined as 12 inches, but any height, this is going to open up an opportunity that I call the Papa Murphy's take and bake of marijuana. A farmer will be able to grow a marijuana plant to a vegetative state, keep it in that large size vegetative state. I can come in and buy it, he'll give me instructions, put this into the flowering cycle. 6 weeks later, I got buds coming off of my marijuana plant. It's going to be a very, very lucrative industry. Their mature plant canopies will be limited in a tiered system with consideration of demand. So they may say, you know, tier 3 is 10,000 square feet, or tier 5 is 20,000, whatever. They haven't made those rules yet, but they are going to have a series of limits on what size the grows can be, and what the fees will be for those grows. That'll be a sliding fee based on the square feet of the mature plants, but the sliding fee does not apply to producers of immature plants only. So you could be a producer only producing vegetative plants, have no limit on how many you can produce, have $250 application fee and $1,000 annual fee, because they can't slide that fee on you based on immature plants. Yeah.
Just in the interest of time, as you start
to be. Sure. You got it. The other licensees, processors, wholesalers, and retailers, again, the 21 years old and 2-year resident, you cannot be in exclusive residential zones. If you're a retailer, a wholesaler, or an extract processor. By them putting the word extract there means they didn't include people making brownies, cookies, gummy bears, liquids. Those kind of processors apparently can still be in residential zones. Retailers can't be within 1,000 feet of the schools, but if a school moves in and a retailer's already there, the retailer can stay. Because that was a problem for a lot of people. I want to invest a bunch of money in my pot shop, and then a school moves in, and I got to pull up roots. Not anymore. You're protected. You get to stay. And they're going to set up industry best practices, and that'll be determined by OLCC and some working groups to decide what are the best practices, and you'll have to follow those. And there'll be fines and punishment available for that. A new bit written into law, bud tender permits. Bud tender, a retail server of marijuana, right? Someone who's handling marijuana for a licensee. OLCC might require them to have these sort of training. You know, can they check ID, detect intoxication, handle marijuana items, the marijuana laws, public health and safety. I, as a consumer, want someone who knows a little bit about the product to be selling to me and to have some idea that they need to wash their hands and so forth. So that's good news. Criminal background check for felonies. But again, if it's a cultivation or delivery charge that's over 2 years old, you can still get your bud tender license. They mostly want to stop people that within the past couple of years were growing and selling, or if they got a felony for other drugs or crimes. And there's explicit protection for whistleblowers, and if the employees want to unionize, explicitly written into 3400. All right, so miscellaneous things in the 3400. OLCC could require bonds and liability insurance. They're gonna put together a seed-to-sale tracking system. I already told you that if minors try to access marijuana items, it's a ticket, except OLCC can send in minor decoys for sting operations, and they're not breaking the law. And 911s, have you ever heard of a Good Samaritan 911 law? It means that if a person calls the cops or the EMTs or the ambulance because there's somebody overdosing on drugs, they don't get punished because there's drugs there. So this applies to minors. If, like, say kids are at a party and they had some brownies and one kid's getting sick and passing out, they can call the cops or call the ER, ambulance, and not face that ticket for calling for help, right? We don't want to discourage them from getting medical help, so that's what that's in there for. Governments can adopt time, place, and manner regulations, but the time, place, and manner regulations can't restrict licensees from being more than 1,000 feet from each other. Can be less, but not more. This is to prevent, like, a hateful government from saying, okay, you can have pot shops, but they have to be 10 miles apart from each other. Right, yeah, 10 miles apart, you're gonna get one pot shop. So they can't do that. 1,000 foot's the limit that they can mandate that they're apart from each other. And you can personally produce, possess, and process marijuana within 1,000 feet of the school. Let me get through, I got 5 minutes, let me get through this. A couple other definitions. Marijuana crops are now defined as crops for farm use and farm practice. That kicks in a lot of agricultural laws and regulations. Land use stuff that the representative was talking about. Cannabis seeds are now defined as nursery stock. That's eventually gonna help us out with that immaculate conception situation and defining how we can sell and buy seeds. The marijuana products and concentrates must be produced, processed, and stored out of public view. I can possess my ounce of marijuana, but if I'm sitting on the street corner holding up my clear baggie of marijuana, I'm going to get a ticket. There's going to be a problem there. And prior convictions are treated under the new law or a Class C misdemeanor if what is you were busted for is now legal for the purposes of setting aside a conviction. If you're trying to get expungement or set aside a conviction, whatever you got busted for, we're going to treat it as if it were the law now and how you would go through that process to get expunged or whatever. So for some people who had a Class A felony and now that thing is just a Class C, that helps them out when they're trying to get expunged. Something that used to be a Class A misdemeanor is now a ticket. That's going to help the person trying to get expunged. All right, SB 460 allows early sales. We are going to go from legalization on July 1st to sales on October 1st. Our three-month gap is the shortest of any state that's tried this. Took Colorado a year before they had pot shops. Took Washington State a year and a half. These SB 460 would allow the existing dispensaries on October 1st and up through December 31st, 2016 to sell to adults, but limited to a quarter ounce of flowers, no extracts, edibles, or tinctures, can purchase four seedlings or seeds. So I won't be able to go into a pot shop and buy an ounce. I won't be able to buy any tinctures or extracts or edibles. And local governments can ban that. They can say that the dispensaries can't sell there. And starting October 1st, those sales are tax-free. Tax-free marijuana for the last quarter of 2015. Thank you, Salem. But 2041A kicks in on January 1st. This would set that 25% sales tax that's only paid by recreational. Medical people won't be paying the tax. It begins at the dispensaries on January 4th because the 1st is a holiday, 2nd, 3rd, or a weekend, or something like that. It's like Monday, January 4th. And then the tax reverts to that 17% plus the possible 3% when the retailers open, when the licensed pot shops open. Goes down from 25 down to that. And the localities in Eastern Oregon that ban pot shops are going to get a share of the tax us Western Oregonians are paying. They're going to get their cut up until July 1st, 2017. Medical marijuana, great changes here. Veterans with PTSD can now get their LMMP card for just $20. A new condition is added, degenerative or pervasive neurological conditions, ALS, Parkinson's, Huntington's, those kind of things. Organ transplant protection, can't be kicked off an organ transplant list. My friend Jim Clark, a longtime medical marijuana advocate, went 9 years without medical marijuana while he was waiting a liver transplant, died last year waiting for that. Had this law been in effect, he'd still be alive. Hospices and palliative care can be additional caregivers, and now patients can fully reimburse growers. No more of this wink, wink, nudge, nudge, supplies and utilities, wink, right? Now you can reimburse them for the labor as well. Immature plant and concentrate match the new rec definitions. There's a new processor's designation. There's all of this inspection and tracking that now happens under the medical marijuana law. There have to be monthly reporting, 2-year record retention, counting plant numbers, amounts of leaves and flowers drying, amounts of usable marijuana. And again, the 2-year residency requirement. You can be disqualified if you've had an A or B felony for a Schedule 1 or 2 drug. Or if you've been twice convicted of an A or B felony for a Schedule 1 or 2 drug, your lifetime ban on getting any licenses. Grow limits. There's been a grow limit on number of mature plants at a grow site. Up to 12 plants in a residential area, up to 48 in a non-residential area, with up to 6 plants per patient. This used to be almost unlimited. Card stacking. You'd have 4 growers, or 1 grower who has 4 patients, and 1 address that has multiple growers, and you end up with a farm with 104 patients and 624 plants, all being for Californians. There's a cap on possession now. Indoor grows can possess 6 pounds per plant, outdoor grows 12 pounds per plant. So if we talk about one of those outdoor non-residential plant grows, that's 576 pounds of marijuana that could be at one of those grow sites, quarter ton. I think I've got 2 slides. The hemp has survived. They were trying to ban hemp and pull all the existing crops and put a moratorium on it for 2 years because the Southern Oregon growers didn't want the cross-pollination. That was killed by the Senate. And some things you can expect, it'll probably be cheaper and easier to license than other states, some bureaucratic resistance in the rural areas, no tied house or vertical integration. You can have as many of any type of license you want that you can qualify for. Tourist boost for the Oregon coast and Bend, massive crash in wholesale prices. Oregon is gonna drop the floor on marijuana prices nationwide. We're already the cheapest in the nation at $204 an average for a high quality ounce. It's gonna go below that. I wouldn't be surprised to see $50 an ounce in a couple years. Delivery opportunities, since Eastern Oregon isn't gonna allow pot shops, somebody's gonna take that marijuana to them. And I imagine in the future they'll integrate commercial and medical distribution channels. So I'm Radical Russ, like I said, I'm Radical Russ everywhere. If you look on internet, Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, SoundCloud, I'm also at portlandnormal.org. You'll be able to get this PowerPoint from me if you just email me or hit me up on Facebook. Be glad to help you out. And, of course, I'm the head of 420 Radio and the Russ Belville Show. I'll be going live today at 3 o'clock with recording of this very event. So check me out online. Thanks for listening, and thank you for having me here.